Morning, church. Praise God. If I have not met you yet, my name is Bennett Ellison. I serve on staff here as the pastoral intern, training to be a priest here. I also have the privilege of working in faith formation here at Cross Schools, teaching Bible for our upper school. I'm grateful to be bringing the Word of God this morning. Our psalm from the lectionary reading for Advent 1, the season of the church calendar that we're starting today, comes from Psalm 50, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 15, and I'm reading from the NLT. Here's what it says. The Lord, the Mighty One, is God, and He has spoken. He has summoned all humanity from where the sun rises to where it sets. From Mount Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines in glorious radiance. Our God approaches, and He is not silent. Fire devours everything in His way, and a great storm rages around Him. He calls on the heavens above and the earth below to witness the judgment of His people. Bring my faithful people to me, those who made a covenant with me by giving sacrifices. Then let the heavens proclaim His justice, for God Himself will be the judge. O my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you, O Israel. I am God, your God. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer, but I don't need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder if you or your family have any Christmas traditions. Our family does. I come from a small family. It's my mom and dad and my older brother, Will. And we're from the Atlanta area. And every year growing up, we had a tradition of going up to Buckhead to a mall where we would go see Santa every year. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that we get pictures every single year. And my mom, she collects all of these, and every Christmas, she puts them out on the side table for display. And you can kind of see the progression there. I even had to include some of the awkward years, you know. It's all there. So, I love it. Now, part of this, the way this rolls is, you bring your wish list, your Christmas list, to Santa there. And you go, and you sit with him, and you read him your list. And he'll listen to you, and he says, all right. And he tells us three things. He says, listen to your mommy and daddy. Make sure you brush your teeth. And always say your prayers. You do those things, I'll see what I can do about the Christmas list. Now, we are here in this season of Advent, preparing our hearts for Christmas, but we can kind of feel Christmas coming. And I imagine, if you haven't had this moment already, there will come a moment where you start to ask yourself, what do I want for Christmas this year? It's that time to start making the list. What do I want for Christmas this year? But we come here this morning, church, and I want to propose to us another question. The question is this. What does God want for Christmas? Have you ever thought about that? That the God of the universe, as His people, He desires something from us. And as we grow and we change, and as we grow, our Christmas list kind of changes as well. What about the God who never changes? What's at the top of His list? In our text this morning from Psalm 50, we have God speaking in this text, and He kind of opens up His heart about His desires in relation to sacrifice. In verse 14, He talks about verse 8. He says, I have no complaint about your sacrifices or your burnt offerings. Like, that's fine. That's all right. It's good. But then He says in verse 9 through 11, I don't need the bulls from your barns or your goats. Why? Because all the animals of the forest are already mine. I love this line, I own the cattle on a thousand hills. He says, I know every single bird. So even if you bring a gift to God, you're not going to catch him by surprise, right? It's already his. And what the scriptures teach us this morning, brothers and sisters, is that when we give gifts to God, our sacrifices to God, it's not because God needs them. It's not like he's deficient without it. Who he is not dependent on what we can give him. He is not in lack of anything. He already owns it all. But then that puts us in an interesting position, right? How do you give a gift to someone who owns everything? Or maybe put another way, what kind of gift does God desire if he already owns all of creation? We get our answer in verse 14. This is what God says. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Here it is, friends. Here is God's wish list that he puts in your hands this morning. He wants you. He wants your heart. And he wants his people coming to him in thanksgiving, acknowledging that all things are his, and from your own, Lord, do we give back to you. He wants his people looking at the goodness of God revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I pledge my allegiance to you. I give my faithfulness to you. I make vows with you, and I keep them, Lord, because you are worthy of it. That's what he wants from us. But here's the tension for many of us. It's probably a little easier to just give outward things to God. It's easier to give our things, our time, our gifts, our treasures, our money, whatever it is. It's easier just to give the outward things while neglecting the inward sacrifice. And what we see, brothers and sisters, is that God prioritizes. All things are good unto him when we offer anything to him, but he prioritizes the heart. I came here, Church of the Cross, in July to train to be a priest. And I remember getting here my first time in the Low Country, and I was just blown away. This place is beautiful. I walk on campus. Campus is gorgeous. I live over at the historic campus. I mean, it doesn't get better than Old Town. I start learning about Cross Schools, all the amazing ministries that we have, the food bank, God's goods. I get to meet our clergy. You know, the most godly men, praise God. And they look amazing. They have the collar. They look the part, you know. And then here I am. I'm coming out of seminary. I'm all fired up. I'm ready to storm the gates of hell in Jesus' name. And I get here, and I'm like, Lord, this is amazing. I'm ready to go to work. And my first week, I have a meeting with Father Chuck. And I sit down in this meeting. I say, Father Chuck, I'm so excited to be here. I'm ready to get to work, and I want to be a great priest. What makes a great priest? And then the way that only he can do, he says, you know, Bennett, and he points to his collar. He says, this doesn't make a great priest. This does. The lesson that he taught me that day that I'll never forget is that come to God ready to give him everything, your life, your service, all things back unto him because we received it from him, but don't neglect the priority, the thing that God wants most from not just his priests, but from all his people. It's the heart, a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of faithfulness. If you want to live your life, friends, to the glory of God, if you want your life to be a pleasing offering unto him, don't neglect the heart. Now, we're still left to wrestle with this question of why, right? God doesn't need the sacrifice in the sense that he's lacking. He owns it all. He doesn't need it. So why would he ask for it? In my preparation for this message, I stumbled upon a quote from an author I really respect, Strahan Coleman, in his book titled Thirsting. This is what he says. God doesn't need us. That's crucial. But as important is the often at best minimized and at worst forgotten reality that instead, God wants us. And if God's wanting isn't based on his need to be glorified or served or pleased, if it's based on his nature, then it is not dependent on what we do. We can't make him desire us any less or more than he already does. This is so good. Because desire is who he is, we have become the glorious beneficiaries of the Trinity's unceasing creative longing. Now, we probably have to chew on that for a while to kind of parse it out, but let's not miss the main idea here. God does not need us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our triune God is self-sufficient in himself, but God wants us. And in this opportunity of God wanting us, him inviting us into himself, see what's happening here. It's a beautiful gift exchange, the greatest gift exchange in all of creation. We give our hearts to God, and in return, he takes us into that loving relationship of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That relationship of love. As we give ourselves to God, he takes us there and he gives us all of himself. You see, whenever we posture ourselves in a posture of giving our hearts, we are then postured to receive. In giving our hearts to God, God gives us himself. Or if I were to put it another way, this kind of summarizes it. God desires for you to give all of yourself to him. And in doing so, you find that God is ready to give all of himself to you. Brothers and sisters, this Advent season, do you want more of God? Do you want more of God in your life? I know I do. What is it going to take of us? It's going to say, Lord, search me. Search through my heart. If there's anything that I have not surrendered to you, if there's anything that you don't have your hands on to form and to change, to sanctify, Lord, reveal that to me so I can give it to you. Because as I give all of myself to you, God, you give me all of yourself. God wants to give himself to you this Christmas. Let us be a people, Church of the Cross, that give all of ourselves unto him. One more thought to close. I want to speak to the soul this morning who feels far from God, who might feel that God is done with you. Coming off a Thanksgiving week, maybe you come in here and you're like, I don't have any thanks to give. Everything has fallen apart, Bennett. Maybe we read the text today and the word of God says, give unto God our faithfulness to keep our vows. Maybe you come today saying, Bennett, I have been faithless. I come with sin on my heart into the house of God. And even if I were to offer it to God, this would not be a worthy offering. God would not even want it. If that's you, friends, I want you to listen up real closely here. I mentioned earlier, I have an older brother, Will. And let me tell you, Will, one of the things I love about him is that he is a great gift giver, which is in sharp contrast to myself. I'm terrible at giving gifts. I don't know if you have any like bad gift givers in here, but when it comes to Christmas, I'm just like, I don't even know what to do. But Will and I, we try every year to give our parents a joint gift. That's our goal. And we kind of brainstorm it together, and then as we get closer, we'll purchase it together, we'll wrap it, we'll put it under the tree there. And that's the plan. And I'll be honest, a little open confession here. I've been really slacking on my end of the deal the past like 2 years or so. When it comes that time, you know, I don't know if you've had this feeling before. You're like, man, it's just too late to get that gift that I really wanted to give them. But here's what has been really interesting. The past few years, as I walk into the living room that Christmas morning, after having thought to myself, I forgot the joint gift. Even so, I look at the tree, and I see at the base of the tree there's a gift. And it says, "To Mom and Dad, love, Bennett and Will." And what he's done the past 2 years in a row is, even when I did not hold up my end of the deal, he went ahead, purchased the gift, wrapped it, put it under the tree, and he put both of our name on it. That's just the generosity and the goodness that he has. But can you picture that tree, that gift at the base of the tree there this morning? Can you picture it there, the Christmas tree? Now, brothers and sisters, let me turn your gaze to another tree where another gift was offered. We'll throw up this picture. When Jesus came to earth, he, on behalf of all humanity, offered himself as a gift to the Father. Not because the Father needs it, but because all of our gifts fall short. We could never offer up that great gift. And as Jesus offers himself on the cross up to the Father, he puts your name on the gift. This is the goodness of God, that when we were faithless, he remained faithful and put our name on that gift unto the Father. So this Advent season, friends, no matter where you're at in your journey with the Lord, God is desiring something of us. Look to the cross of Christ. And as we behold the life, death, burial, and ascension of Jesus, when we think about the person of Jesus, let our response be thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your perfect gift that you put my name on with you. When I couldn't do it, you did it, Father. And I say thank you. When you look at your life, and you look at the person of Jesus and what he has done with putting our name on his gift, let your prayer be, Lord, let me stay faithful to you. Today in the church, we come together to confess that, Lord, we have not kept our vows. Confess it today in your heart before the church and before the Lord. In your heart, tell the Lord, say, Lord, I have not kept my vows. But, Lord, would you give me the grace to be faithful? He'll do it, friends. He'll pour out his spirit. And may God give us all grace to give back to him what he is desiring. What does God want for Christmas, friends? He wants you. A heart of thanksgiving and a heart of faithfulness. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your nature, that you are the self-giving God, that you have loved us, that you have sent your Son, Lord, that when we were faithless, Jesus, you remained faithful, where we deserve the wrath of God. Jesus, you offered up the perfect sacrifice and you put our name on it. So Lord, I pray that you give each one of us here today, anyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, would you give us the eyes to see you, and would the cry of our hearts be, thank you, Jesus. And Lord, where all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, where every single one of us, Lord, have rejected you and were faithless, we thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray, Lord, that even today, every single heart, Lord, that you would give them the grace, the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be faithful, to give to you what you want of us. We are your people, Lord. We thank you. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.